So let's talk a little bit, if you could, help our audience. We keep using the name GNF Concrete Cutting, and I'm sure that many of our listening audience here today and in the future, when they listen to the show via podcast, etc., will know of your brand name in the market. But for those who might not that are listening, could you take a minute, Rita, and explain what it is that GNF Concrete Cutting does?
Yes, GNF supplies concrete cutting, core drilling, and demolition services. Our market is primarily public works, private, commercial, and industrial construction projects. When we first opened up our doors, we took on jobs that no other small companies would. We lacked in capital. We made up for my business experience and Greg's technical experience. This kind of built a well-built foundation based on those two personalities. Greg's skills and my marketing and public relations know-how, we had a collectively strong team going. So in those early days, it was exciting to know that it was our business, and we were anxious to see how far we could take it. With the art gallery business, however, I knew how to market up-and-coming artists, gallery shows, press releases, mass mailings, and the advertising in local and national publications. But when I set up GNF Concrete Cutting, I had no problem setting up the basic structure. Greg bid and performed the work, and I was responsible for setting up equipment. My position was from answering phones to scheduling work to administrative responsibilities. But what we didn't count on was a lack of support by our customers, the foreman and the superintendent on the field. That was the biggest turning point for me. The different industries, were so different. They're almost like different cultures. And as a woman, I did not seem capable in the minds of those male in the male-dominated industry that I had just entered. Most were only interested in speaking with Greg, who often was busy in the field and not always available. And they would just kind of reject me, even though I could readily assist them. So it was hard. It was hard to try and convince them of my capabilities. I was being shut out, and I can still distinctly remember in the pit of my stomach, the anxiety I felt. And I kept thinking to myself, this can't be good. This isn't going to work out at all if I can't get a hold on this. So
I think it's part of your DNA. I think you and Greg will be just fine in that area. But, you mentioned earlier about the complementary skills that you both brought to this business, and that leads me to want to ask you, when you found the firm in 1980, can you explain how your skills and Greg's skills do complement each other in the operation of your business, and how you've been able to make that working relationship, because you're in fact partners, and yeah. Many of our listening audience are in a partnership business, and we always find it's good for them to hear from other people who are in a similar situation. So could you talk about how you've
sure.
made that work?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Greg and I learned to define our positions and respect those positions towards the greater goal of the benefit of our company. And we did that through many, many battles. At first, we weren't doing this. We each thought our opinion was the more important opinion. Greg is more the quiet, calm personality. He doesn't sweat the small stuff. His job is to bid work and to develop and design equipment. And he looks at the challenges of projects and is enticed by how complex they are and how he can overcome the challenge. In that particular way, he's fearless. I, on the other hand, pay attention to detail and organization, and my focus is primarily on procedure. I've learned that it's really important and relevant to build relationships between unions, the Southern California Contractors Associations, or recently the Southern California Minority Business Development Council has become very important to me. So I've been really working on those types of associations and relationships. And my administration responsibility I take to heart. Greg thinks it's overkill on my part, whereas I think of it as a strong will of determination that is essential. So, in essence, we had to look at each other, and finally we figured out that, both of us couldn't do it without each other. So we had to take the time to understand each other and respect our roles, and we had to learn to work, better, or work well together. And this revelation came to light years ago, and I think I was telling you when you first came to our offices, Rick, that it was over a cell phone. Greg was doing much of the work in the field, So he was an operator as well as an estimator as well as a mechanic, and he became very frustrated and tired of having to get off the freeways and, you know, answer the pager, because our only communication, or other than phones, was pagers. So Greg decided to go out one day and purchase a new cell phone, and of course this would make his life easier, but he didn't discuss the purchase with me, and cell phones at the time were very, very new, and they were very, very expensive, and to finance them was even more expensive, I think 24% at the time. The excitement of this new cell phone clouded any good judgment that I thought he should have had overall. And we realized that while his needs were real, we also had an obligation to each other to make the other choices. And realize that simply discussing the terms beforehand would have alleviated, you know, the big blowout and big problems. So communication and understanding was missing in our partnership in the early years, and so we had to change that quickly, and I believe we have. You know, his office is on one end of the on one end of the building, and mine's on the other. So a lot of people say, how do you work with each other? And I said, you know, sometimes we don't even see each other during the day, but we know we're there, and we know what our jobs are and what our positions are. So that's basically how we've tried to complement each other, just by working better with each other.
Well, that's a very thoughtful answer to the question, and two things that I picked up that I think are keys that I've heard from other successful partnerships. You started out by saying you went through the process of defining each other's position inside the company. And that sounds like you started that early, because you came at it from different skill sets. But it sounds like to me that you're continually kind of revisiting it on maybe not as frequently or as intensely as you have in the past, but it's important that you each know each other's roles are.
Absolutely. It's as important today as it was, you know, in the early years. So it's a work in progress, most definitely. So.
And then respecting each other's differences and roles inside the company, which I think, unfortunately, all too often in some partnerships, over time, that respect disintegrates or deteriorates to a point where it's not a viable partnership anymore. And, you know, obviously the listening audience is aware that not only are you business partners, but your family members, you're married. And so that's another level to a relationship that, you know, needs to be brought into the thought pattern here. But having clearly defined roles and staying within those roles, and then respecting each other's differences and roles and values, and is what I heard from your.
Which is
a testament that, again, the business is healthy and strong after 29 years because you've been able to work on these core issues. And, you know, you mentioned something in that answer and earlier, which I'd like to spend some time on with you, because your firm is certified as a woman-owned business, and this kind of comes into play for part of the strategic public works projects that you're going after, you know, government business awards. Could you explain to our audience how this certification has affected your business as well as your firm's position in the construction industry?
Okay. Well, originally, the certification progress, it was, I think, started by, public agencies, cities and states and such. But, today I have to just make that one little correlation that there are many, many companies, private companies like Disney, Southern California, Edison, the gas company, San Diego Gas and Electric, that have implemented and believe in strong diversity, sustainability of suppliers. So they self-imposed, these policies, to look for and embrace diverse companies to come and be part of their business, of their activity. But in the beginning, GNF had to find a way to compete for the concrete cutting services or within the public areas, for which minority or women-owned business certification was so important. We had to make ourselves different than other concrete cutting companies. And so one way was to become a certified minority women-owned business. Much of the work that we were bidding on required percentages of the work we performed by MBE, WBE, or disadvantaged DBE companies. So we actually, our certification came quite by accident, however. It's not something that we sought to be. Our primary goal was to be a really qualified customer service related concrete cutting company. So However, in the late 1980s, a general contractor for which we had been doing work with had sent out a vendor questionnaire and an in-house certification form, and they noticed through the information that we had sent back that we would qualify as a certified woman-owned business and asked us to self-certify. So we learned that we met that criteria, and that was our true first realization that entity in itself, certification, would set us apart from other companies. So again, we did it. We embraced it. We kind of fulfilled Kiewit's outreach to us, and so they were happy, and we were happy, and so that's how we became certified. However, like I said, certification is just a tool that we use to get our foot in the door. Certification is just one thing about us. It says to many business entities, private and public now, that we're real. It's much like a degree. For instance, when you graduate from college, there's no one on graduation day handing you a job. And that's the way it is in being certified. A lot of companies who do go out and get certified now think, oh, I got certified, now where's my job? So that's not the reality of it. You still have to go out and get the job. As I was stating about a college degree, the degrees basically kind of tell other people that you have the tenacity to work hard and to accomplish a goal of higher education. You now have knowledge in a specific area, but again, you still have to go out and prove yourself, and you have to go out and get a job. So although GNF is certified as a woman-owned minority business, we still have to go out and bid the project. We still have to build the relationships. We still have to do the jobs, and we have to do the jobs well, and we have to do what we say we're going to do. So, like I said, it's a tool we use, but it's not who we are. It's an important tool, yes, but it also it comes with controversy. So.
Well, that's interesting because it also has very little to do with your ability to perform the work, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you still got to not only get the job, as you've spoken to here, but you've got to perform once you have the job.
Exactly. And probably even more so because you're under such scrutiny. A lot of general contractors believe that they're being forced to use subcontractors or diverse companies, and especially in today's time. The state of California has a mandate, I think looking for 3%, and there's no longer in some specifications previously there was an outreach program where you had to go out and outreach or make the best efforts to bring in diverse companies and give them a piece of the pie, so to speak. But that outreach now, I believe, is no longer a requirement. Right now the requirement is that you will bring in diverse companies, and I believe that has a lot to do with the stimulus language that we're talking about, or we've been going through for the last year or so.
Rita, I have two other kind of follow-on questions, short, but in your opinion, have you ever experienced where having this certification is kind of a double-edged sword?
Oh, yes. Again, as I was saying, for a lot of companies out there, and for instance, I went to a Southern California Contractors Association dinner, and they're important in our business because they follow the legislative issues, in the state of California. But when I went to this dinner and to listen to some permit issues and such, and there was a speaker there, and he was addressing all the permits and all the laws and the regulations that contractors have to go under. And he actually addressed the problems with having to deal with minority women-owned businesses. And he actually called us a third-world country. We were much like a third-world country. And so at this association that I belong to, their basic belief is that we were getting preferential treatment. And they didn't want to do that, and they still don't want to do that. So I actually took a position recently as one of their board of directors, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to share my voice in a more positive way and show them that diversity doesn't have to be a negative position for them. that it can be a very positive one, and you can find new resources. It's going to enhance their competition. It can only better their field. So I'm going to take on that challenge and hopefully get them to change their minds about, you know, diversity.
Well, good luck. You know, that leads me to maybe the final question in this point before we move on, and that is, I remember and recall in our conversations that you had mentioned at one point your firm was actually challenged about its certification. Mm-hmm. Do you want to spend a minute talking about that?
Well, basically, it's in the beginning, there were a lot of companies that were just, for instance, becoming certified, and the certification was maybe not, you know, truthful, or it wasn't really actually what the company was about. And so when certifications, minority women, DBEs became relevant in the contracting procurement world, there were many companies that were, you know, changing the positions of their, you know, their company identity by changing stockholders, or, you know, saying, putting their wife in the head of the realm, you know, sort of a pro forma. So because both the controversies were coming up, I think, you know, they looked at GNF Concrete Day and they're saying, hey, here's this woman, she owned an art gallery, and she didn't, you know, really have any construction knowledge. You know, how, you know, could she possibly be pro forma? So it took a trip to Sacramento and much time and effort to really convince them and to document, you know, my investment, my capital investment, my knowledge. Very stringently, you know, I had to save my integrity in the company, and because of that, you know, I think it even made it a bigger truth that GNF Concrete Day was a certified minority company. Today, there's many companies that are, you know, just rushing to the certification agencies and trying to get certified primarily women, because, you know, minorities are not going to be an issue. They're changing, you know, the dynamics of who's a minority and what's a disadvantaged business. So I take to heart the fact that I am truly what I say I am, and so I'm hoping that the agencies follow through with their commitment to verify, you know, that the companies out there are truly certified minority qualified, most importantly qualified companies. So.
One final question. You know, you're in the construction industry. You're in the construction industry in Southern California. Could you share with our audience from your perspective here in October of 2009? You know, what's your outlook for the construction industry in the county?
I think we're still in for another lean year. You know, although I do notice through the Dodge reports, you know, some construction reports, that there are many projects coming down the pike. We are being very cautious and optimistic, and we're trying to maintain a conservative position in our growth, you know, and development, and how we manage our overhead and costs. So we want to be around for a long time, but I do see a positive. I think we're getting ready to turn around the bend. So.
Well, that's good. That's encouraging. Is if someone wanted to learn more about your firm or contact you, Rita, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can contact us on our website at www.gfconcretekitting.com. I'm really very, very appreciative, Rick, today for giving me this opportunity. I want to thank you and your listeners for listening to our story, and I hope that they found some value in my words, and maybe in some way they could relate to, you know, our business, our story. So. But again, visit us at www.gfconcretekitting.com.
Well, the time has flown by. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'd like to make the offer that, you know, maybe sometime later next year in 2010, we'll have you back as a guest, and we can talk a little bit more about some of the areas that, frankly, we just kind of touched on very lightly here today. Would you be interested in coming back in the future?
I would love to. I absolutely would.
Okay.
So I enjoy speaking up. So
thanks,
so much,
Rita.
Again. You have a good afternoon.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.